Hello everyone, I'm Ali, a PhD student at the National University of Singapore, and today I'm going to present our work on accelerating HPC applications with out-of-order commit processors. In this presentation, first I will give an introduction on how we should design and optimize general-purpose CPUs when we are using specialized computing elements, and also we will talk about a phenomenon called memory vault. Then I will give you some insights how to use a hardware software code design to address this problem. Then I will present our solution on non-speculative out-of-order commit with branch reconvergence analysis. Also, I will demonstrate our solution with some experimental results. And then at the end, I will conclude this presentation. In today's HPC systems, we use specialized or domain-specific computing elements in order to improve performance and efficiency. These specialized computing elements include GPUs, FPGAs, ASICs, and many others. But the question is that, is there a suitable place for a general-purpose CPU in HPC? In this slide, you see a figure from an IEEE micropaper at 2012. That describes how the behavior of the workloads in CPU changes when we move from a CPU-only implementation to a CPU-GPU implementation, which means a portion of the code has been offloaded to the GPU. In this graph, there are three sets of benchmarks. First, we have benchmarks that nothing has been mapped to the GPU. Second, we have mixed benchmarks that the workloads has been evenly distributed between CPU and GPU. And third, there are benchmarks that most of the workload has been offloaded to the GPU. And here our focus is only on the second and third sets of the benchmarks. And on the y-axis of the graph, you see the average number of instructions that have been executed in parallel within the instruction window, or also known as instruction level parallelism or ILP. And the instruction window also means that the number of instructions that CPU can examine at once to find more parallelism. As you can see, when we move from a CPU-only implementation to a CPU-GPU implementation, ILP drops about 5 to 10%. And this is mainly because less regular code is left for the CPU to execute. Hence, after moving to a CPU-GPU implementation, there is less parallelism for the CPU, which means it's more difficult to improve performance. And in this graph, we have the same benchmarks, and on the y-axis, you see the breakdown of memory load instructions that are classified based on how hard it is to get the data from memory. Strided and pattern loads can be easily handled by existing hardware and software prefetchers, but hard memory loads are difficult to predict and prefetch. As you can see, when we move from a CPU-only implementation to CPU-GPU implementation, the percentage of hard memory accesses in CPU increases about 17%. And this means that CPU spends more time to get the data from memory, and hence it's more difficult to increase performance. And in this figure, we see memory vault, which is an important issue. And in this graph, you can see why. Performance of computing elements like CPU increases about 16% per year, but memory performance is increasing only 7% per year. And we anticipate that this gap will grow more with the end of Moore's law and Dennard scaling. In this slide, I'm going to present an important structure in out-of-order processors, which is called reorder buffer. And people use this structure to enforce the in-order release of resources and provide precise exception handling. And when instructions are coming to the processor, are inserted to this queue in program order. And this means that the instruction at the head of the queue is the oldest instruction, and the instruction at the tail is the newest one. And let's assume we have a code like this, which is an if-then-else statement. We have a branch and also a load before the branch that is going to get the data from DRAM. And this means it's going to take a long time to get the data. These instructions are inserted to ROP like this. And the question is that if the branch is dependent to the load instruction and need the data from the load instruction, what are we going to execute after the branch and fill the ROP with those instructions? Previous solutions come in variety of flavors. In the first class, that we call it early speculation, the goal is to predict and prefetch data before the program accesses that data. Then the branch uses this speculative data to execute one of the paths after the branch and fill the ROP with those speculative instructions. And there are previous numerous solutions based on this idea, like prefetchers, value prediction, in-memory computation, and data recomputation. In the second class of solutions, we have late speculation, which the goal is to continue execution after the branch, even without the data. And this means that we predict one of the paths and then fill the ROP with those speculative instructions. And to name a few of these solutions, we can point to branch prediction and run-ahead execution. But the question is that, can we find other non-speculative work after the branch? And the answer is yes. When we are able to detect these independent regions after the branch, we fill the ROP with these instructions. And when they are non-speculative, we can release the resources of these instructions earlier. And our contribution is to use a static compiler analysis to detect these branch-independent regions. As you have seen, many of branch dependencies in the hardware are artificial, and not all instructions are dependent to the most recent branch. And this is really important to detect these true branch dependencies. And the idea of our work is to use true branch dependencies to release resources as early as they are non-speculative, but not necessarily in program order, which is implied that we are going to release resources and commit instructions out of program order. Also in this project, we are using open source hardware and software. For the compiler implementation, we use LLVM as an open source compiler infrastructure. And also we build our system based on RISC-V ISA that is really good for exploring hardware software cooperative strategies. And also it's really good to make an efficient communication between different layers of the system, and also the simplified implementation of the instruction set architecture. It makes it easier to handle exception cases. Now I'm going to give you an overview of our solution. In our static compiler analysis, the goal is to detect true branch dependencies and mark these dependencies in the code. And in this figure, you see a simple if-then-else statement, and we have a branch in the first block of the code. In the first step, we find the reconvergence point of the branch. And reconvergence point is the point in the program that the execution will reach that point, regardless of the branch outcome. And in the second step, we detect control-dependent instructions, that these are instructions that they can possibly execute between the branch and the reconvergence point. And in the third step, we detect data-dependent instructions. And these instructions are those that their data is going to be different if we execute different paths after the branch. And also at the last step, we detect independent instructions and mark these instructions as independent from from this specific branch. And here I'm going to give you a high-level overview of the processor, and I will give you the details in the coming slide. But basically, in the front end of the core, we want to track true branch dependencies and all the information that we get from the compiler. And in the back end of the core, we have a lightweight implementation for reordering instructions based on the branch dependencies. As you can see, when we decode an instruction in the front end, we use these setup instructions to get the data from the compiler. And when we are inserting, sending the instruction to the back end, we insert them to the ROP. And then from the ROP, we distribute these instructions to different commit queues. And we use a table called commit queue table to do this distribution. And this means that all instructions in one commit queue are dependent to only one branch, and they only have to for that branch to be resolved in order to release their resources. And also when we commit an instruction, we have a table that tracks of all out of order committed instructions, and we call this table as CIT. And we are going to use this CIT table to recover from branch mispredictions. And I'm going to give you the details in the coming slides. Here is a walkthrough example for the compiler that we have. As you can see that we have if then else statement, and we have a branch in the first block. And in the first step, we detect the reconvergence point of the branch. And in this example, it's labeled 2 in the last block of the code. And in the second step, we detect control dependent instructions. And also in this example, these instructions are marked in the red area. And in the third step, we detect data dependent instructions. As you can see that in the last 6 instructions in the last block of the code, we are using the -20S0 and -24S0 locations. And you can see that these locations are updated with control dependent instructions in the red area. And this means that the data that we have in these locations is going to be different if we pick different path after the branch. But the first 4 instructions in the last block are considered as independent from the branch. And in the last step, we are going to mark these regions. As you can see that for the branch, we use a set branch ID instruction that is going to assign a unique ID to the branch. And in this example, we are assigning 1 as the ID of the branch. And also for all the other regions, we use a set dependency instruction that says, for example, after label 1, the next 8 instructions are dependent to branch 1. Also, you can see that the first 4 instructions in the last block are independent from branch 1, but they might be dependent to an earlier branch like branch 0. And now I'm going to give you the details of the core. Our out-of-order commit core, and we have 3 main flows in the processors. First is the branch dependencies flow, and then second is out-of-order commit flow, and third is the recovery flow that we have from branch mispredictions. Basically, the goal of the branch dependency flow is to propagate the compiler information to the processor. It means that when we decode these setup instructions, set branch ID and set dependency instructions, we are updating the branch ID table and dependency counter table to keep this information. And when we are inserting instructions to the ROP, we assign a branch ID to each instruction. And this tells us that each instruction is dependent to which branch. And in the out-of-order commit flow of the processor, we are basically doing, it's the implementation of reordering instructions based on the branch dependencies. And for this purpose, we have the CQT table, and we look up this table to distribute instructions between different commit queues. And then when we commit and reload and release a branch from the pipeline, we update all the previous tables in order to have the space for the next coming branches. And also in the recovery flow from branch misprediction, we have a table called CIT. And when we commit an instruction out order, we insert that instruction to the CIT. And when we have a branch misprediction, when we are going to refetch an out-of-order committed instruction, we look up this table in order to prevent the re-execution of this instruction. Now I'm going to present some experimental results based on our solution. For simulation, we use Gen5 in system call emulation mode. And for the compiler implementation, we use LLVM10 with RISC-V backend. And for the benchmarks, we use SPEC CPU 2006 and MyBench benchmark suits. And also, you can see the system configuration that we have used for simulation, and we are using a Skylake-like processor as the baseline. In this figure, you see the performance improvement of our solution compared to other ideas for different applications. In order commit is basically the implementation of most existing processors. A non-speculative out-of-order commit is a special version of out-of-order commit that we wait for all branches, loads, and stores to be non-speculative and then commit instructions. And reconvergence out-of-order commit is our work that we have implemented. And also we have an ideal version of our solution that means the size and the number of queues, commit queues is unlimited. And also we have an aggressive speculative out-of-order commit idea that is kind of the upper bound of our solution, but it is not an implementable idea. As you can see that we can get 22% performance improvement on average, and this improvement can get up to 230 performance improvement. And also we can reach 95% of fully speculative and aggressive out-of-order commit that is the upper bound of our solution. And in this figure, I'm going to show that what is the reason of the performance improvements that we get and what is the reason of the different improvements for different applications. And here I'm going to focus on two applications, BZIP2 and MCF, which BZIP2 shows the least potential for out-of-order commit and MCF shows the highest potential. And in this figure, each point in the figure represents a branch in the program. And on the x-axis, we can see the number of instructions that are dependent to that branch. And on the y-axis, you can see the criticality of the branch. And basically, it's the number of cycles that branch has stalled the ROP and has blocked the processor from executing more instructions. For BZIP2, you can see that we have more dependent instructions per branch, and these branches are not very critical. And this means that we have fewer opportunities to improve the performance. And that's why we are only getting 10% performance improvement. But on the other hand, we have fewer dependent instructions for MCF, and those branches are more critical. And this means that we have more opportunities for performance improvement, and that's why we are getting like 230% performance improvement. Also, we are going to investigate the impact of the size of resources on the performance that we get from our solution. For the smallest core that we have investigated is a Mayholm-like processor, and then we have a Haswell-like processor, and also we have an Skylake-like processor that is the biggest core that we have investigated. And you can see that for SPEC-CP 2006, we are getting so close to aggressive and speculative out-of-order commit that is a 95% of the upper bound. And also when we are increasing the size of the resources, we are getting a higher performance improvement. And this means that when we have a bigger core, we have more opportunities and more resources to take advantage of out-of-order commit solution. And here you can see that we get 4% overhead on power and 8% overhead on area of the processor. But these overheads are low compared to the extra performance that we are getting from our solution. And if you want to read more details on this idea, I can refer you to our paper that is going to appear in ASPLUS 21. And in conclusion, we could see that the design and optimizing general purpose CPUs matters for HPC applications. And also we have seen that an efficient communication between software and hardware and different layers of the system is going to give us more intelligent resource management and give us more the extra performance improvement that we can get. And also using open source software and hardware is going to give us more flexibility to explore hardware software cooperative strategies. And thank you so much for your time.